From the Arts Center in Carrboro, this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, a program that has fascinating guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Good radio and always a few surprises. Now here's Claudio.
Well, it's going to be a rerun next week, but we're here this week. Can you give me a little more volume on the mic there? We're just trying to fly this paddle boat. Here we go. For some reason, it wasn't jiving with my headset. Good morning, folks, and thank you for tuning us in. I have with me today David Henderson. He's one of Ira David Wood's favorite actors, directors, one of mine, too. He's just starting a new company called An Honest Pint, and we're going to get into exploring that. Good morning, David.
Good morning. How are you?
Great to have you. And, of course, we've got historian and friend Bob Crowley sitting there in the corner.
Good morning to you, sir.
I want to acknowledge the Apex Arts Council as my underwriter for Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, and the Carolina Theater of Durham is in the workings of getting back on the map for that, too.
Excellent.
So thank you very much for joining us. Of course, I have Rocco as my more than qualified co-host.
Always great to be with you, Claudio.
Great to have you. This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, and I'm going to switch on right on over to David Henderson to give us the scoop on what An Honest Pint is all about.
Excellent question. So I've started a new theater company in Raleigh called Honest Pint Theater Company, and the goal behind the theater company was to look at giving audiences exactly what they pay for, is coming up with the idea that theater is immediate, impactful, and present in our lives. And in this,
and putting it on a real working class level, the honest pint idea.
The honest pint idea, yeah. And Bob pointed out earlier, mind your P's and Q's comes from mind your pints and quarts.
Now, this was interesting. Explain that very quickly.
Well, it goes back to the 15th century in England. P's and Q's, minding your P's and Q's, was something you would tell the publican in the bar, give me the honest pint, give me a proper measure, mind your pints and quarts, mind your P's and Q's now.
I got you. That makes total sense.
And that's what we're hoping to do.
So I know what that means now.
Yes.
And now this theater company, the goal of this theater company is to do that. I mean, we looked at, if you look at our mission statement, we talk about, I quote Hamlet, when Hamlet gives his instructions to the players, he says, I want you to hold as 'twere the mirror up to nature. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what we want to do, is hold this mirror up and show society what we are, who we are, how we love, how we hate, what we're doing right in
how
the world.
How we can fit honesty into the mix when everything else is ripping us off out there.
Exactly. What is it about these theatrical stories that resonates with us today, right now? And the show we're doing now is a show called A Steady Rain at North Raleigh Arts and Creative Theater, running for 2 more weeks. And it is a show about 2 Chicago police officers. And it doesn't get more honest than this. It's a show about friendship, love, betrayal, trust, loyalty, decisions, and the ramifications of those decisions. And it's 2 men for 90 minutes. No
Fantastic.
Intermission.
Tell us where the theater is.
The theater is off of Lead Mine Road. It's at the corner of Lead Mine and Sawmill in Raleigh.
It's in a
shopping center. There are some great restaurants right there. There's a great pub right across the street, which every night after the show, because of the name of the company, I invite the audience to join us for a beer.
I may come just for that.
Please do. I hope you like the show, too.
Yeah.
But the goal of all of this is to encourage that honesty, whether it be honesty in the productions itself, honesty in the ticket price. So if you pay $15, I want you to be able to get your money's worth.
You want to get your money's worth.
Yeah,
exactly.
I want the audiences to feel engaged with what they see. I want them to walk away and want to come have a beer or a beverage of their choice and talk about the show and talk about what it meant to them and why they were moved or not. I mean, I want honesty.
That kind of interaction only helps us create better theater.
Exactly. As an artist, if I am not coachable, if you will, my girlfriend, she always talks about the coachability and the ability to accept feedback, and she talks about how artists are coachable. And if you are a coachable artist, you will continue to grow.
The more pliable you are, the more
exactly
people
and,
will want to work with
and
you.
And we just opened this past weekend. We had 3 shows. And we saw audiences steadily increase. The reviews have started coming out, and they've been spectacular.
Wonderful.
I couldn't
Example.
Ask. Emotionally charged, excellent, brilliant. Those are the words that have been tossed around. And it's nice, you know. It's hard to say that because I'm not that much of a self-promoter, but it's nice to hear that the work is being
recognized.
It's
okay to say it when you're not the one that made it up.
Exactly. But it's nice to see the work recognized.
That's fantastic.
And audiences have been very, very positive. And it's nice to see people that I don't normally see in the theater. You know, it's normally when I do a show, I come out and I see friends and mm-hmm. people that I've known for years because I've been doing this for a long time. And where we're doing this, we're getting to see folks that are new to our work, obviously, because we're a new company. But we're using someone else's space, so we're getting some of their audience as well. And they've never experienced us before, so it's nice to have that new relationship.
Now, is this a troubadour theater concept, or what are we looking at?
It is. Right now, it is.
Because you don't have a
our own
stationary venue. So
correct. We do not. And that's one of the biggest issues. Byron Woods, who writes for The Independent, he and I were having a conversation one day about the biggest issue facing Triangle Theater is space. Is there a lot of itinerant theater companies across the Triangle that do not have permanent homes or permanent spaces that they can use. So you do find where you can. And North Raleigh Arts and Creative Theater, NRACT, was wonderfully gracious in allowing us to come in and share their space.
I imagine it's still difficult because you've somehow got to work with existing schedules wherever you can. And commonly any production is booked a year or two ahead of
Exactly. We were very lucky to kind of slot this in where
Fantastic.
We were. And they teach a lot of classes, and they have their own full season schedule. So we were able to rehearse this at Cary Academy because our director, Glenn Matthews, used to be the artistic director of Raleigh Ensemble Players, one of the best directors I've ever worked with. He's on faculty there. So we were able to use their theater to rehearse and moved into the NRACT Theater a week before we opened.
Congratulations.
Thank
it's good
you.
To see
it's
you.
It's good to see you.
I mean, I figured if I hadn't seen you doing an outside venue, you'd be back with Ira David Wood doing something on his stage.
I will be back there very soon.
Christmas Carol coming
up. I'm ready. He's been gone all summer. You know, he's been at the Lost Colony.
That's right, yeah.
And everything. So I'm looking forward to hanging out and spending some time and figuring out what our next venture will
Remind
be.
Us of the role you play in Christmas Carol.
I am Jacob Marley. I have done it for done the show for 19 years.
Goodness.
Now,
typecasting.
Yeah. it is a Christmas gift to myself. It is sharing the stage with David is one of the highlights of my
career. Yeah, he's a good soul to have around. I need to get him back on the radio, so at some point when he gets back, I'm going to bug him about that. You can sort of sow the seed, begin it for me when you see him.
I will do that.
I think he's been tracing grandchildren around down there from what I've heard.
All kinds of kids. He's just having a new child, right?
Yeah.
Daughter?
Evan had a son.
A son, right.
David has his son Thomas and his wife Ashley.
I remember.
Amazing.
I remember teasing him about this, you know, this late in life, another child. What is this, fear of death?
Well, David is great, and it's watching him with Thomas is
amazing
a beautiful
soul.
Thing.
A no doubt. Thing. No doubt. Now he's certainly the nurturing soul. Let's bounce over to Bob Crowley for a minute, the historian. What have ye to bring to the table this morning?
I don't know. What do you want me to bring to the table this morning here?
Well, why don't you catch us up a little bit on the Apex Arts Council and
Apex
also
Arts
some classes that we will be putting on in the
future. Yeah, we've been talking about a little bit about that on the way up here. We have a number of our classes coming up into the fall season here. 28th of September from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Holiday Inn Express in Apex. We've got an Introduction to Painting class, and this is we're entitling this one Memories of Summer. Bring your favorite photograph from the summer and sit down at the class. It's only $35. It's only 2 hours, and our instructor guarantees that she will let you teach you how to paint a recognizable version of the photograph that you bring in only 2 hours, and I've seen her do it. It's amazing, and it's a lot of fun. And you know, $35, bring the kids. What the heck? That's a fun thing to do. Then a couple of weeks after that, the 19th of October, we're going to redo that kind of class again, also from 4 to 6 p.m. At the Holiday Inn. This one will be Harvest and Halloween, if you want to bring pictures of that. But before that, in that location, same day, that is the 19th of October, from 9 o'clock to 3, we have our creative writing class, which is a good one there. We have two instructors, Belia Keeney. Belia is a professional author, editor, writer, whatever. And then if we follow her up with Alice Osborne, and if you're into the poetry scene in this area, you know Alice. And she's a lot of fun, and she teaches well. And then I've got another slot on the 16th of November, and I'm talking to a gentleman who may fill that slot in with something. You may be able to meet the great Claudio in person there and take a class from him. And what is it we agreed that you were going to?
I think the working title is The Art of the Interview, but it's going to be about communications in general and also the arts.
Yeah. How do you do an interview? How do you, depending on which side you're on, whether you're the interviewee or the interviewer, how do you create a presence there, and so on. So it's going to be applicable to the arts if you're out there selling your work, or if you're in business and you've got to be able to do that. It's the same techniques. It's just a matter of drawing people out and how to do that.
How to do it as naturally as possible.
Right. Then we have two art shows coming up on the 19th and 20th of October. We have the Three Rivers Art Show that's out in it's in one of those strange places where it's a Sanford address, but it's actually closer to Pittsburgh.
It's right off 15501, isn't it, on the way to Sanford?
Nearby there, yeah. It's a strange place, but it's at a horse farm. It's an outdoor show, and it's always pretty good. We have about 35 artists that will be out there, everything from glass schlumping to painting to some of the greatest cheesecake you'll ever eat. Wonderful stuff.
Right.
And then on November 2nd in Fuquay, we're also co-sponsoring a show with that Defining Design Sunset Lake Road. This is their regular yearly art affair, and we'll have 20 or 30 artists out there as well. So that's what's coming
our
up.
Our own version of Designing Women.
Well, yeah, I'm sure Mishi and Carol will be happy to hear that from you.
We got to have them on the show sometime.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think this year we'll get them on there. But that's what's going on right now at the Arts Council, and there's a few other things I've got up my sleeve, and we'll do it. And if you want to find out about all this stuff, there's only one place to go. The Apex Arts Council website, www.apexartscouncil.org.
And this is almost too much to take, so let's go to some music.
A little music,
Mr.
Claudio.
Rocco.
Yeah, but also don't forget about our Facebook page.
Just had to get another one in, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I did.
Community radio for Chapel Hill and Carrboro, 103.5 FM, WCOM.
You're tuned to 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Están escuchando a 103.FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Thanks for listening to our station.
I'd like to tell you that your host Claudio is available as a poet with a one-man band for house concerts, performing original and traditional literary readings. Claudio is a well-known classical poet and a master storyteller. His website is claudioarts.com.
And now for a moment of radio theater. I would like to pay a special tribute to my longtime companion, four-legged friend, Whitefoot, whom I very sadly had to put down yesterday. This is dedicated in the spirit of crossing over. Windsong. I have lived my life on foreign shores, as a lover of the sea, drinking down my nevermores when they wouldn't set me free. I spent my years saluting winds which gave my sails direction, and ever was it plain to see my youth in my reflection. Though now I greet my autumn season like a leaf upon the wind, who in having lived by love and reason will bear myself once more to journey. This body, though merely a shell, has truly lived and served me well. These eyes, though rugged by the years, have smiled their smiles and shed their tears. So all in all, I am rejoicing upon the sea alone, for in the wind is a spirit voicing, a call to bring me home. I pray the prayer of every sinner, and poets much alike, that my spirit clothes me a winner upon that final hour's strike. And as I journey from here to hence, where there is neither gate nor fence, as an older man I must concede, a windsong now is all I need. So long, Whitefoot. This show is dedicated to my friend Whitefoot, and I've got one more to go. Any sailor can relate to this. This is from my collection called Seafarers. A drunken sailor. The sailor set his battered sails upon many a restless sea, though now as the autumn wind prevails, it's home to land for me. I've spent my rum and tonic nights sailing o'er angry tides, though now as I see the harbour lights, all memory subsides. I'll head for shore as I've done before and rest my weary soul, but not before, land sakes galore, some rum and rock and roll. There'll be some jokes amongst the blokes as the booze begins to flow, and then some weed to numb the creed from things they don't choose to know. They'll all be looking forward to several weeks of sail. A shake of hands a friend demands, and it's off to no avail. Well, I'll spend this night in tropics I may never see again, and I'll speak of many topics I may never free again. I'll be drinking with the runners who hide within these isles, and I'll drink a toast to sunners who've come to change their styles. Yes, I've seen my better days at sea, and the last of this bottle of rum, so I warily set my memory free of these islands in the sun. Though before I sleep without solution, for even a drunk has resolution, I must take to heart this last desire, for it ain't the rum that burns like fire. Well, I'll set my sails, if but once more, and just for old time's sake. Then from the ocean to the shore, I'll live on a fisher's take. So once again I'll sail my dreams across this restless sea, and once again it seems, I'm home at last, and free.
Would it be crazy if you packed your bags and left? For a week, a month, a year. What if you left for 2 years? What if you were going far away to help in a village on the edge of the Gobi Desert? To spend time with people the rest of the world only reads about? To teach children and learn a thing or two about yourself? Would that be crazy? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
You're tuned to your community radio station, 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
And you're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Remember, this is 103.5 FM community radio for Chapel Hill and Carrboro. You can also hear us online at WCOMFM.org. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. Back to Claudio.
And that was the one and only Rocco talking to you. He has his own show Saturday, so tune him in. What are the times, please?
9 until 12 noon, Claudio.
Great musical stuff. I've got David Henderson in the studio here with me, and still historian Bob Crowley. And David, I want to get back to An Honest Pint, but okay. Before I get back to that, mm-hmm. I want to poke some fun, and this is a morbid thing to say, at some of these blooming drug commercials.
Oh.
I've been meaning to do this. Where they literally give you more information on how this medicine can kill you, take out your kidneys, chop up your liver, or whatever it is, then God knows what good it actually does for any damn thing.
Yes.
You had a great little illustration of it earlier, and I was wondering if you'd go back into those colors.
You're sitting there, you know, having a nice leisurely afternoon, and there's a commercial on in the background, and it's a husband and wife and their children walking through the fields.
Dancing through the daisies.
Pastoral and everything, and you just kind of tune it out, and all of a sudden the volume of the commercial comes up, and you hear, this medicine may cause death, anal leakage. I mean, things that you just go, who talks about that?
And it goes on for ages.
And it's 20, 30, 40 seconds of that
and
stuff.
And I'm assuming this is just done so that if you ever take these bastards to court, they're going to say, we told you this medicine would kill you.
Exactly.
You've got no case.
Yeah, it's very much a cover your own behind kind of thing. And it's
especially if you get the anal leakage.
Yeah, exactly. I can't believe that's the one that I chose on the radio.
Yes, but, I'm the rather. Way. But then it's the speakeasy. People have come to expect these things.
Yeah, that's the way things come out of my mouth. Oh.
Well, let's go back to having an honest pint after all that.
Please.
But it is a mockery of us as a society that we even put up with this crap.
Yeah.
Why even feed us this medicine if it doesn't do its job?
Right. Yeah.
You know, if it's going to blow two holes in my ceiling and take out my left nostril, I really don't want to take your damn medicine.
Yeah. It comes back to the idea of what we call playing the long game, right? Is that a friend of mine goes to the doctor and the doctor says, yeah, I can keep you alive forever, but you'll have to take these pills for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Or you can become vegan or change your diet or something like that. Which one do you want to do?
Yeah.
The person chooses pills over what, because they think that's the easier choice.
Give me a qualified witch doctor any day. I'm going back to Africa. I want herbs.
Well, some of those herbs are better than
yes, and not legal.
Yes, right. There we go. Actually, I've been saying legalize it from the start of this radio show.
Yeah,
but let's go back to an honest pint.
Excellent.
How did you even come about? How'd you trip into this field?
Well, it's interesting. I've been an actor since I was 5 years old, and
they just couldn't keep you quiet.
They couldn't, no. And once I got involved in it, I progressed through life, and it was always a part of my life, and thought it was going to be just a hobby, just an avocation.
Well, that's usually what parents encourage.
And
keep this as a hobby.
And I here was at UNC. I studied at Carolina as a Moorhead Scholar, and really thought that I was going to go to law school, and almost did, and then realized, you know what, I really don't want to be a lawyer. I want to do something else. And I ended up in elementary education, fell into corporate education, still keeping theater and film as a big part of my life. And it always has been. It's always been there. It's been more of a vocation than an avocation. And then about 2 years ago, decided that I wanted to create a company.
Mm-hmm.
Not from an ego.
Oh, so this gestated in you.
It did. This came from me sitting around reading Hamlet, really, and going, hey.
I'll get you in trouble anytime.
Oh, my God. Especially when, you know.
That book's haunted.
When he's talking to the players, and he talks about the idea of, like I said, holding that mirror up to nature. And there's another line in there that I thought is really good, is when Hamlet sees his friends in the early part of the play, they've come to visit him in Elsinore, and he says, "We'll teach you to drink deep ere you depart." And I loved the idea of drinking deep of something.
I'm
literally
just sense,
you know what I mean?
It now, yes.
Getting into something and really drinking in an experience. And the experience of theater is not just what happens in that room as an audience member. I think it's what happens in the rehearsal process.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
So the other actor in this show with me happens to be one of my best friends, a guy named Ryan Brock. He's probably one of the best actors in the Triangle. And aside from being my best friend, one of the people that I trust most.
Was he involved with Temple Theater at any time?
He did one show at Temple,
I thought,
believe.
So. Peggy's a dear friend of mine, Peggy Taplin.
And Ryan is gifted. And he and I together on stage have this connection. There's an honesty.
Sure.
There's a true friendship. It's like with David. David is my friend, and he and I share an honest friendship.
And you can read each other. If there's ever a trip up or a slip up, you know how to bounce.
You trust each other. So 2 years ago, I came up with this idea of just maybe I'll do a theater company. But then there's that part of me that says if you do a theater company, everybody's going to say it's ego-driven, that you're trying to – but that's not what it's about. It's really about trying to focus on – giving audiences honest.
The ego-driven always fails.
It does. And we were able to put together the dream team for this one. Glenn Matthews, the director, Muki Sue, our designer, and Ryan and myself, I would call a dream team. We knew each other. We'd worked together before and were able to bring this story to life in a way that audiences have come out crying. They've come out wanting to talk about it. Because there's no real hero or villain in the story. You don't know who to love,
who to
hate.
I like that type of production, yes.
And this play started in Chicago in 2006. Keith Huff, the author, is also one of the writers for Mad Men. But he wrote this play.
Ah, interesting. Okay.
And it was about these two Chicago cops, and it got notoriety when it went to Broadway with Daniel Craig and Hugh Jackman. But I found it in 2006 and started writing Keith Huff's agent and saying, "Hey, I want the rights." And he goes, they're not available. But I maintained this relationship with him. So one day he sent me this email and said, "The rights are available." So Ryan and I always said I would do the show with Ryan. If I ever did it, decided we wanted to do the show. And I worked out getting the rights and everything, and now it's come to fruition. And a week in, we're walking on cloud nine.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
It's
a really intense story.
Give us the title again.
It's called A Steady Rain, and it takes place in the not-too-distant past in Chicago. And it is about the friendship between two Chicago cops who've known each other since kindergarten. And one of the catalytic events in the play is a response to a domestic disturbance call that they take. And that part of the play is loosely based on something ripped from the headlines. I hate to use that phrase, but from the Jeffrey Dahmer case.
Oh, goodness.
Two police officers actually responded to a domestic disturbance call, and Dahmer basically said, "No, this is my lover," and the cops returned.
Made too little of it.
Yes, and in this show, it's a young Vietnamese boy, and they don't speak Vietnamese, obviously, so they can't understand what's going on. And that moment is in the center of the play, but the ripple effects of it begin. It's told across time. So
this haunts these characters? Is that the idea?
It haunts them drastically. And one of the cops, the other character, Ryan's character, is a guy named Denny. Denny Lombardo. He is a cop who's doing everything he can in his own mind for his family. And a lot of that is not necessarily good stuff.
Uh-huh.
He's maybe on the take here and there. There's a hooker or two that gives him a little money, and he looks out for him. He beats up a pimp every now and then to protect those hookers or whatever. And how those kind of things that in his mind are enabling him to protect his family come back to hurt him. My character, his best friend since kindergarten, is a recovering alcoholic is an inveterate drunk that Denny has said knock off, and taken me under his wing and watching me become more and more mature, if you will. Like, we have to take a race relations seminar because he's mistreating people on the job, and he won't take it. He asks me to coach him on what they teach him. So it's really interesting to see how our friendship unravels. But at the same time, how much it's how men love each other. And this will be, I know you've seen this movie, Master and Commander.
Oh, yes, of course.
You know, I walked out of that movie and I loved it, but I loved it because it focused on French, male friendships and how men relate to each other. And that's what this play is. There's they beat each
more
other
in a, very much in a spiritual friendship. I depend on you. You can count on me, kind of way.
Exactly.
And that was my life at sea. For a decade.
And that's why that movie resonates with me. I think of you every time I think of that movie. And in the show, I always say he's my best friend, my partner, always back to back. And that's it. We have each other's back. But there's this unbelievable dysfunction at the root of all this. And watching. Over the course of 90 minutes, this journey these two characters take, it's really beautiful and, in my opinion, honest.
And from that flawed premise, so to speak, not flawed premise, but a premise of flawed characters, it puts it on a ground level that any man can identify with.
Exactly. Every one of us in this room knows a character like Denny. Every one of us knows a character like Joey. And we hope that they're not us, but sometimes they are.
They're but for the grace of God.
And I think that that's what Hamlet's saying, hold that mirror up. And if I hold the mirror up in such an honest way, and you sit there and go, oh, that's me, or I see that pattern of behavior in myself, or I see that pattern of behavior in...
It's a good study. To me, that's what theater is anyway. To me, theater is the true church.
It's interesting you say that. I do say that theater is my church. It's where I go to pray.
It's mine.
And you need... The beautiful thing about theater is you need that audience. You need that feedback.
It's interactive.
You need their energy.
Even if they're quiet, and they're not always quiet.
Right.
But it's interactive.
And as a storyteller, you know that you know when the audience is with you, and you know when you have to go a little
further. In many sense, they're playing you.
Yeah, they are.
You are the instrument that they are playing. You're putting
forth. You're reading their score, and you go, oh, tonight I have to go a little faster, or tonight I can take my time, or tonight I can be forte versus pianissimo. You know,
if I do this, that old lady in front is going to pass out. So
yeah, and we have
let's
that
tone
fear.
It down.
There's, you know, as a warning, and it's not really a warning, but as a, the show is a hard R-rated show. There's a lot of language in the show.
No doubt.
And, you know, I mean, they're cops, and they...
Sure.
My character does not have the potty mouth, but...
And is it a New York location?
No,
or?
It's in Chicago.
You said Chicago.
It's in Chicago, but the... But because of the language, you know, there's always that moment when you don't know who's coming to see your show, and you want to make sure they know, hey, there's some language in here. You don't want to have a situation where somebody storms out 3 minutes in because somebody's dropped the F-bomb 10 times.
Just got out of church, and I'm hearing this. Wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a real – but I do think because you use the word flawed, and I think that's a real – good way to think about it is human beings, we're inherently flawed.
Yes, we are.
We are flawed. And for us to think we're not is really pompous.
I love that statement that Gibran made in his book, The Prophet. Never forget that though the pillars of the temple stand tall, they are no higher than the lowest stone in their foundation.
Exactly. And I think that that's what we're trying to do with this show, is just put up there and... Again, I keep using the word honest, but that's obviously what we're about, an honest presentation of these two cops and not judging them. Mm-hmm. We're not sitting there saying that what Denny does is wrong. Is some of what he does wrong? Yeah. But in his mind, he knows he's protecting his family.
It's the mirror. You're looking at yourself.
Exactly. And I have a therapist friend that deals with police officers. And we're going to try to work and get him to come and do a talk back for the show. Because he said to
me... Q&A type thing.
Yeah, he said that of all careers, it's the one he knows that it changes people. Doesn't matter who you are, when you go into the police force, it changes
no
you.
No doubt.
And I think that we talk about the Trayvon Martin case related to this show, because there is a scene in the show where they're dealing with a young African-American boy, and the description of it could have been ripped from that case.
Yeah.
So it's
and I think
timely.
It's important to keep current in that sense. People have to have an identifying point, and it has to be made valid on that level.
Yeah, and I think even with Shakespeare, I mean, we've talked about that before, is that and Bob mentioned that Shakespeare was like, he wanted his stuff to be modernized or adapted.
Absolutely.
You know? And I think that that's true, is that if I can give you as an audience member a way in, it's going to resonate with you. You're going to come away from it going, oh, I don't distance you, I pull you in. And I think that's, I always say that in theater, I want the audience sitting forward because I want them to get so caught up in it, they go, oh my God, tonight's the night Romeo and Juliet live, and forget that they're going to die.
Yes.
And if you do that, you win.
And you know you've accomplished something when somebody that never liked Shakespeare leaves going, you know, I never thought I'd like that guy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes from how you do it and honesty. I think too often, and I mean this in the best way, I guess, it too often is theaters kind of alienate their – we feel alienated.
Mm-hmm.
And I like immediate theater. I like smaller theater. I like working at theater.
The more intimate venues,
Raleigh Ensemble players when they were around. I like the intimacy because I want the – an audience is a great lie detector.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know what I mean? And if you can see them and you can feel them and you can read that energy, you know if they're with you or not. And it's not the same on a Broadway stage when the audience is 100 yards away.
No, and it's so structured and so adapted and so not open to any audience response other than this is what you're going to get delivered.
Yeah.
It's kind of sealed off.
And that's our goal. Our goal is to look at theater that impacts our audiences, mm-hmm. and shows audiences who we are. And those shows can be classics, Shakespeare, Chekhov. They could be contemporary plays like A Steady Rain. Or I was reading last night an adaptation of Mary Stuart about Mary, Queen of Scots.
Ah, yes.
It's a really fascinating play. So,
well, do me a favor. Give the folks that are listening the contact information for tickets to the show that is currently running and just overall website and so on. I want to make sure we cover that.
If you want tickets to the show, you can go to www.nract.org. That's nract.org. That's North Raleigh Arts and Creative Theater. You can go to their website, which I just gave you. There's a link for tickets there. You can also go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/honestpint, and information will be there as well.
Wonderful. I think Rucko wanted to ask you
David,
something.
I'd like to ask you, are any of these productions theater in the round?
It's an excellent question. Right now, we are doing this one in more of a traditional proscenium space because it takes place in what is suggested as an interview room, so it's very claustrophobic. But I gravitate more towards theater in the round or three-quarter theater.
I like that too.
Because it's very, the audience is right there.
Right.
Yeah, so we're open to that. And again, because we're an itinerant company, we kind of are beholden to whoever's space. We have originally we were going to have audience on stage with us during this production. It just ended up from a visual perspective better to have them proscenium.
Yeah, I've seen some of the productions with theater in the round, and they can be very effective.
Oh, absolutely!
Really,
Threepenny Opera has done that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I was going to suggest, why don't we take a little break, go to some music, and then we're going to come back with historian Bob Crowley.
Uh oh.
From the Arts Center.
Get ready.
In Carrboro, this is Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater. Heard at 103.5 FM, WCOM.
We'll be right back. field of science is endlessly fascinating, and some of the world's most significant science is going on right here in the Triangle. This is Ernie Hood. Join me Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Radio In Vivo, your link to the Triangle Science Community, right here on WCOM LPFM.
Your time is important. That's why we thank you for taking us along. We're WCOM. Now back to Claudio.
And if it's back to me, it's back to historian, president of the Apex Arts Council, Bob Crowley. By the way, the Apex Arts Council does underwrite Claudio Speakeasy.
Yeah,
and Radio Theater, and the Carolina Theater is working its way back into doing the same.
Good. I'm in good company.
Back to you. Yes, you are.
Absolutely. So, let's see. What do we talk about
like,
now?
Give us the juice, but I don't know what juice that is.
Oh, there's all kinds of juice. I mean, but the big story right now, of course, is the one I told you about in the car on the way here to this morning. We drove up here together.
You told me that. They heard that already.
Yeah. Well, no, they
no,
you
they
heard
didn't.
It. They did.
I did.
And that was our friend Bradley Manning. Everybody knows Bradley Manning. Bradley Manning is American military. I'm not sure if he's an officer or not, but he's the guy who took a whole bunch of military secrets and posted them on WikiLeaks recently. He's not Snowden, not the guy that's hiding out in Russia.
Right, this is
the other one. And Manning was just was tried on a charge. I'm not sure if it was treason, but something like that, and given a sentence 35 years to life. So this past week he was doing his final interview before going into the stockade, and he announced that when the reporter asked him, "What do you intend to do in the stockade?" he says, "Well, I'm thinking of transitioning into being a woman. I've always wanted to do that."
This has been a long time dream.
Now, I can't imagine what's going to happen in prison when he decides he's going to...
Does he realize he's going to make this transition and then they're going to put him in a cage with the birds?
He's going to be very popular.
They're
going to
put him in with the women. Yeah, right.
Whatever the case may be, that's the...
If he's looking for action, he may want to stay the way he is.
That's the strange story of... that I've picked up here. And, of course, apropos to your dedication yesterday, National Dog Day.
Which I didn't know. I put my dog down on National Dog Day. This was totally... I did not know that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's...
good way to remember him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope everybody remembered their dogs and...
Whitefoot.
And loved them in their own way, however that was, whether it was...
After a decade, they begin to slip away, man. Hold on to what you got.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, they become children, and they're part of the family and all like that. And, of course, we treat our children sometimes worse than that. Like you and I have discussed a number of times.
What's that? What do you mean?
Well, you were talking about children the other day.
I am just getting. Thank you. Actually, I'm getting a little disheartened by this constant drum of these child molestations, especially from the Catholic Church, or I suppose any type of priesthood. And I really feel that the penalty for this is. This is me speaking for myself, not for WCOM. Claudio for Claudio. I really think that if a child is molested, if a child is raped, it should carry the death penalty. I mean, we do that for rape charges with women. How is it any less severe for a child that is still in its innocence? And if I mean, you would have to peel me off somebody that did that to my kid. They would be lucky to survive me. And yet nothing is done. And I think priests should be given a special priority when it comes to sentencing like that.
I can't say I disagree with you.
That's just how I feel. I'm nauseated by how much of this goes on.
Yep. And then there's other things. I mean, we were talking also about my latest pet peeve. You ever hear somebody say, you know, "Hey, would you like another beer?" Yeah, just a little bit in the bottom of the glass. Please show me how you put it in the top.
I want a floater.
So there's that, and you know, those are the main things that I, you know, been mulling over in my mind. I've always think about all
mulling.
Kinds of,
oh, this,
yeah, well, right. Yeah, well,
play
yeah,
on
little,
words,
little mulled wine.
What do you think this is?
Hurt.
Theater?
Yeah, well, you know, theater. I want to get a theater company going.
Speaking
Apex.
Of that, you've written a story. You were telling us an interesting thing about what intrigues me most is the idea of you creating the stage for this. In the midst of the audience.
Yeah, I a few years ago, we had the beginnings of a theater company in Apex, and we were talking about what we were going to do, and the seven producers we had, it's a long story, and that's one of the reasons it didn't work, too many cooks. They were deciding, well, can we do it, but oh, it's going to take so much to get a script, and like that, I said, I'll write you a script. Oh, you can't do that. So I sat down one Saturday morning, and I by Sunday evening, I had knocked out a three-act play. And we had it all together, and it's called The Case of the Happy Hobo. Basically, it's a comedy murder mystery.
Bit of a farce, yes.
A bit of a farce, yeah. There's, you know, at the beginning of the play, a body is discovered in a railroad car, and it looks like a hobo who's been shot lying on his face, and they turn the body over, and no, it's not really a hobo. It's an eccentric millionaire who likes to hang out with the hobos on the weekends, and we're off on the chase to try and find the killer. And of course, he's got his whole family and his friends and his business partners there, and everybody's got a murder motive, everybody's got opportunity, but it's a big farce in the way it works.
And this is one you wrote.
This is one I wrote.
And explain the theater concept.
The original was written to be done at the New Hope Valley Railway in Bonsall. The New Hope Valley Railway is a tourist line railway. They have steam locomotives and the whole bit down there. And what we don't have, though, is a train where people can actually eat aboard the train. So doing dinner theater would have been a bit of a problem if you think about the classic railroad dinner theater. Mm-hmm. Also, it's an out-and-back run, which at the longest takes maybe an hour. So it's not doesn't really lend itself. So I came up with the concept of doing the dinner and everything else under a big marquee tent in this infield area. So everybody would arrive, and the actors would be just in with the audience. So you might be talking to somebody there, and you wouldn't know it's one of the actors.
Well, that explains the concept, yeah.
Until they just start acting, start playing their part. And we would, the first act was there over cocktails and hors d'oeuvres as people meandered around and the body was discovered. And then everybody got on the train for a nice little train ride, and that got them out of the area. And we would turn over from the cocktails and hors d'oeuvres to dinner. When they got back, dinner was there, and we would play out the thing. And if anybody guessed who the actual murderer was before he was found, they got a little prize of some sort.
Murder on the Orient Express Phase 2.
Something like that, yeah. something like that. And I've been talking to a friend of mine who she's a local producer, director, actress, Jory Reagan. Mm-hmm. She does Red Rum here in Raleigh. In fact, I think they're working on the new production of that now.
Stephen King's way of saying murder.
Murder spelled backwards, yeah, Red Rum. And she may take, and she's reading the script right now, and then if it works, maybe we'll adapt it to the Presidium format rather than this, to put it on a stage. And, you know, it's adaptable any way you want. And as far as rights, well, I wrote the bloody thing.
You got rights.
I got rights. I got my God-given rights.
Right.
So that's pretty much what's going on
in that realm. Well, give us a little more on Apex Arts Council. I know you covered quite a bit of territory there. But
the big events that we've got, our two art shows, our classes coming up. Those things are happening. I have my independent film guys. They're out there working. One of our crew is working on a possible pilot for a TV show that he wants to shoot. It's called Sports Radio, and it's set here. In fact, when we do the pilot, I think we may actually do the filming of the pilot here in the WCOM studio. Right?
Let me take a moment just to let folks know we're not accepting any phone calls on the show.
Yeah. So, well, okay.
Back to you. Sorry, I just noticed the phone.
Yeah, there's somebody
ringing.
Calling from someplace.
That's okay. It's a soundtrack.
Well, they hung up.
Oh no!
Yeah,
I guess they were listening.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I
folks.
Yeah, we had our listener was
yes.
So they're working on that, and they're in casting on that right now. So okay. that should be fun. Other groups, we've got another show that'll actually be coming up. We'll do in downtown Apex. This will be we'll hang at the Friday after Thanksgiving. It'll hang for 10 days, first week or so in. December.
And pretty much anyone's welcome?
Right? Anyone is welcome. It'll be...
Doesn't have to be just from Apex.
No. Anybody within the... I try to keep it just to North Carolina artists.
Yeah.
But, yeah, anybody's welcome. The theme of the show is holiday and winter. And let's see what you've got out there. We'll hang it. If you like, we do a silent auction as part of the show. So we might even wind up, you know, getting your work sold somehow and assisting you in doing that. So we'll do that one, and then we have to do a number of these shows. We have a venue in downtown Apex that we use for them. end of January, we'll also put another one up. It's one I called Valentine and Romance Art. Mm. And that's always fun. I mean, it's tied in with Valentine's Day. And as I like to tell people and try to be delicate about it, there's only one reason that most guys ever buy that candy and flowers. Here, maybe, you know, they'll buy a painting and she'll think, oh, my God, he's sensitive. And if that works, fine. I got, you know, that's all right, you know. But we have a little bit of a lighthearted thing. So we're trying to be as active
as we
can.
Keep the romance alive.
Oh, got to keep that romance alive. And who knows, maybe I'll write another play or we'll do something. I've got a lot of plans, and we got a lot of good programs at the Arts Council, and we're trying to make
them all
happen.
How do you feel the Apex Arts Council is emerging overall since you've taken the helm, so to speak?
Well, I took the helm about 4 years ago, and it's been a bit of a struggle because
no doubt.
There were a lot of things that weren't done that should have been done, a lot of administrative things.
An economy going sideways.
Just raising money, of course. I mean, anybody who has ever had anything to do on a management level with any nonprofit knows that your first job is to raise money, whatever way you can do it. Beg, borrow. Well, we try not to steal, but you know, we do it any way we can, and that's always been a big problem. A lot of people have asked me, well, how come you don't do this? Well, come on and do it for me. I only got two hands, and I'm busy trying to do the administrative stuff. So I always need help. Right now, I'm looking for a new manager of education, somebody preferably an ex-teacher or a current teacher even who wants to do some volunteer work. Principal, be great. Somebody who can take over the education department and manage the instructors, get the venues and such for that. I'd also like to find someone who can start a children's art program for us.
Wow.
I think that would be a wonderful thing to be able to do. So if you're interested, teachers, if you got all that spare time that you got nothing else to do and you want to give back to the community, yeah, we know.
Apex Arts Council needs you.
Apex Arts Council needs you. And if you got an idea for anything, I'm willing to listen. I mean, if it does good stuff for us, we'll make it happen here. And that's
fantastic.
Pretty much what we're doing.
I need to give a quick shout out to the Apex Farmers Market, where I'm the official chef every Saturday from 9 to 2. Keep that in mind if you're in the area. It's a very honest business transaction going on there. And we also try to do artistic things with children there. They have face painting and so on.
And if you haven't been to the Apex Farmers Market and gotten some of your tropical moon, that is an absolute, you must do it. It is wonderful stuff. It is the elixir of life, the food of the gods.
Thank you. He has not been paid to say this. He's not a plant.
And guess who makes it? With his own two little front feet.
The chef, yours truly.
Yeah, absolutely. But you got to try this. It's a great stuff. It's a blend of spices and
20 different
things.
Herbs and spices, all natural.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, African Caribbean Universal Seasoning is what I call it.
Yeah, I put it on eggs. It's great stuff.
Yeah, I've had some interesting responses to it on Facebook. So people that have come to the farmer's market and bought
excellent.
It and then broadcast it on Facebook. Hey, man, you need to try this stuff.
You want to try something weird? Put it on chocolate ice cream.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I've never
it's
thought
got
of
the
that.
Right spice blend for chocolate.
And I can see that, actually, because it's got nutmeg, cinnamon, ginger, and elements like that.
Don't give away your recipe now.
There's 20 ingredients in there, so 3 won't hurt the feeling.
Sounds like Colonel Sanders.
I have been reduced to Colonel Sanders. Well, I tell you what, I think it's about time for us to wrap the show, so let's give contact points and websites one more time,
okay.
Starting with an Honest Pint.
Honest Pint Theater is presenting A Steady Rain at North Raleigh Arts and Creative Theater. It runs Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. For the next 2 weeks, you can get your tickets at www.nract.org, and you can go online at facebook.com/honestpint, and the information is there as well.
You, Bob?
Me.
Apex
Arts Council. Best place to go is our website, www.apexartscouncil.org, apexartscouncil.org. And if you want to register for any of the classes or any of these other things, you'll find ways to do it there. You'll find all the information about this, what I've mentioned, plus other programs that we've got going. So definitely that's it. And, of course, we have a Facebook page, too. So go on there and check it out.
And if you need any of your questions answered, you can always go to claudioarts.com, and I'll do the best I can. Rocco, give us a quick plug for your show coming up on Saturday.
Music Hall, 9 to 12 noon, Saturday mornings, right here on WCO.
Greatest stuff
Claudio,
on radio.
Always a pleasure to be on with all of you.
Thank you, folks, for spending a wonderful hour with us. Thank you, guys, for joining me here in the studio. It's been absolute fun. And this is not the last we'll be seeing of Henderson or Crowley.
Oh, yeah.
Or me, I suppose.
We hope not.
Thanks for tuning us in. Until next time, cheers.